The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge: a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today my message is the first part of the essence of my message to Christians. Overview of the broadcast. The broadcast states that we exist to be friends of the Creator. It is stressed that Jesus was a Jew and the birth of Yeshua or Jesus is outlined. We look at correction of some names, starting with Yah the Eternally Self-Existing and the Almighty. We then look at Christ and that Yeshua died on a stake, not a cross. We note that those who followed Yeshua suffered massive persecution. It is pointed out that all authority was given to Yeshua after his death and resurrection. It is noted that Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, and that Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 981 years from now. We note that the world is such a mess because of the contest, and it is pointed out that Yah, that's the Almighty, is Chesed, love. We stress that Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him, and you are encouraged to seek truth and not error. It is noted that when unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits or demons. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I am an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So the article on which this broadcast is based is referenced 2020.10.04, The Essence of My Message to Christians. I've now reached a point at the time of writing, which was in 2020, about 18 months ago. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. I aim to produce similar articles for Jews, Muslims, unbelievers, and other religions. Nearly all of my writings are presented on the website www.eti-ministries.org or endtimeissueministries.org, both of them will work, including a set of PDF volumes available at the on the Compilation of Most Writings webpage. For direct words from the Almighty to myself, see Important Insights webpage, Important Insights. If you're a Christian, I urge you to listen to this article right to the end prayerfully, and then to pray the prayer at the end. In all my writings, words and phrases in curly brackets are commonly used words that are incorrect at a level that they should be avoided. My journey with the Almighty has been deeply informed by the rigor of my engineering training. I have a doctorate in engineering. So, folks, I come from a Christian background. I don't regard myself as a Christian any longer. But Christianity has a lot of important hooks in drawing to a close relationship with the Almighty, just as Judaism and Islam in particular also have important hooks for drawing close to Father. So I'm going to share with you my understanding of what's really important to you if you're a Christian. In summary, this article presents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Christians. Subsequent articles are planned for Jews, Muslims, etc. It is stressed that Jesus was a Jew and that his name could therefore not be a Greek name, which Jesus is. His name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. A number of common English translation errors in the majority of English Bibles are discussed, and from this it is evident that there is misunderstanding amongst most Christians of the reality that Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus, was a human being and not God in the flesh. It is noticed that it is grievous error and sin to worship Jesus. We should worship the Creator alone. The history of the Bible is discussed, and it is noted that the Bible is a valuable history book, no more, and that it is not the Word of God, and it is sin to worship it. It is noted that the only reason we exist is to be friends of the Creator, and if you're not living life with that objective, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. Wide diversity of other topics are discussed. So I'll elaborate on these points in a few minutes. So I want to start out by saying that we exist to be friends of the Creator. There's fundamentally only one reason that human beings, this planet, this solar system, this universe exist. And that is because the Almighty Creator, who has always existed, was lonely and wanted companions, and specifically friends. Friend of the Creator is the highest achievement in this life. and anything short of that is a misfire, particularly if you've not even attempted to achieve the status with him. Friend means that you talk to him constantly. You know his true name, Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yah, and you use it exclusively. He talks to you constantly. You know his plans and participate in them. You know his goals and work towards them. You pray his will into existence on earth in close consultation with him. You're a turnaround emissary or turnaround prophet and are changing the spiritual dispensation on earth in consultation with the Creator, etc. If you qualify as a friend at the end of your life, then you qualify to sit on a very high throne in heaven with a glorious resurrected body, great authority, great prestige, and great power. Folks, this is such a fundamental principle. If you've never asked the question, why are we here? Or if you've asked the question and never got a satisfactory answer, this is the answer. The Creator was lonely. He decided to create intelligent beings who he could interact with, and we are the result. If you're not drawing close to him, if you're not seeking to become his friend, you have seriously missed the bus, and you're going to be very disappointed when you die. And it's important to realize that when you die as a believer, you will go directly to heaven. You'll be judged. If you've got sin, you'll go to the lake of fire and brimstone, hell, for a period. And then you'll spend eternity in heaven. If you're not a believer, you'll never make it there. My second point. Jesus was a Jew, or more accurately, Yahushua was a Yahudite. The man you may call Jesus Christ was a Jew, a Yahudite, a resident of Judah, Yahuda, and therefore a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew and lived in a Hebrew society. See Matthew, chapter 1. It says the genealogy of Yahushua, the genealogy of Jesus. The book of the generation of Yahushua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, etc., etc. And so it traces out the lineage that's attributed to Yeshua and proves that he was from the absolute basics, was a Hebrew, a Jew, born of a father of Judah. It's so important. There's so much wrong thinking among Christians about Jews. Not all Christians. Some Christians embrace Jews, but there are many Christians who hate Jews because they have it that the Jews killed their God, Jesus. And that's just so mistaken. And they hate Jews for a whole range of reasons. I get emails sometimes which are vitriolic in their attacks on the Jews from people who claim to be Christians. And if you claim to be a Christian, then you claim to be a follower of Yeshua, Jesus. And he was a Jew. There's no ways that he came to attack Jews. He came to save Jews. And let's talk about the birth of Yahushua. Reference Isaiah chapter 7 verses 10 to 16, Micah chapter 5 verses 1 to 6, Luke chapter 2, 1 to 7. Please visit the webpage on the essence of my message to Christians for the complete text. It is important to note from the above that Yeshua, Jesus' earthly lineage, as recognized by human beings, traces all the way back to Abram the Hebrew, Genesis 14, 13. Most of the people listed there are reported in the so-called Old Testament, evidencing that Joseph and Miriam, Yeshua's father and mother, were fundamentally Hebrew people who were amongst those closest to the Almighty Creator throughout the period in question. Note that Matthew 2 to 6, 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6 states, "Now when Yahushua, or Jesus, was born in Bethlehem of Yehuda, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Yehudites, the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the anointed one, the Christ, should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Yehuda, Judea, and for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Yehuda, Judah, art not the least among the princes of Yehuda, Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So Yahushua, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem, in the land of Yehuda, Judea, and was therefore a Yehudite, a Jew. Note that the word Jew is an anglicization of the word Yehudite. So therefore Yahushua, Jesus, was a Jew, and his family and his society were all Jews." So important, folks. Yeshua was not Greek, and therefore his name cannot have been Jesus or Iesus, which is the Greek name. His name in Hebrew is Yahushua, frequently translated Joshua, meaning Yah is salvation. Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. Note also that the occupation forces in Yehuda were Romans and not Greeks. There's no reason why Yahushua, his family and his community would speak or write Greek. Therefore, nearly all the original writings on which the so-called New Testament are based were written in Hebrew and translated into Greek. This gives rise to all sorts of corrections, some of which will be discussed further in this article. Note in Matthew 27:46, that's Matthew in the Christian terminology, Yahushua cried out in Aramaic, which is vernacular Hebrew, and about the ninth hour, Yahushua cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? Clearly, that was his home language. So there's a whole lot of wrong thinking in Christianity that Yeshua spoke Greek, that the early disciples were Greek, when in fact Yeshua was a Jew, the earliest disciples were Jews, and Yeshua came to bring salvation to the Jews. And you can't understand fully Yeshua without understanding his Hebrew roots and understanding the Hebrew language behind the Greek. Correction of names. In particular, at this point, I would like to offer a number of corrections with regard to names that are commonly used. These corrections are made within the context of the reality that belief in the Creator and belief through Yeshua, Jesus, are represented to a degree in Christianity, and Christianity is therefore a fundamentally Hebrew religion. In particular, it is not possible to fully understand the so-called New Testament in the Bible without first understanding the culture and history that is presented in the so-called Old Testament. Fundamentally, Yeshua, Jesus, was an Old Testament prophet. The New Covenant only came into existence when he died. In this context, it is important to understand that modern-day Jews are also descended from these roots, and the reason that so many people hate Jews, because at some level they've been more faithful with the matters of the Creator than most, and they are therefore a threat to the satanic and demonic realm, which therefore triggers irrational and ill-informed hatred of Jews. It is also important to realize that at the time that the Bible was first translated into English, there was a large amount of tradition and also intense persecution, which resulted in the translators making compromises which have persisted to this day in the vast majority of Bible translations. The following points should be viewed with this in mind. So I'm going to talk a bit about a number of names and words that are commonly used in Christianity that are in fact erroneous, they're incorrect. They give rise to all sorts of wrong thinking. with the result that there's a lot of error in Christianity associated with these names. So the first one I want to speak about is the phrase that is translated in most English Bibles as the Lord, the capitalized, and Lord in capital letters. The phrase, this is truly the real meaning of this phrase, the correct translation is Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. The phrase Yah the Eternally Self-Existing occurs in the so-called Old Testament over 7,000 times, represented as the Lord. This phrase in Hebrew is Yahweh or Yahweh, depending on preference. It is the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, and his true fundamental name is Yah. If you do not know this name and use it, you will never draw particularly close to him. How do you form a relationship with someone when you do not know their name? For a detailed discussion of the name Yah and how it permeates every facet of the Old Testament life and the names of people, please visit the webpage Name of Yah in the Book, which is a child of the webpage More About the Bible 4, which is a child of the webpage The Bible on the website. There's also other pages that relate to the name of Yah. It is so important to understand how the name Yah was central to the lives of early believers. Thus, in this article, we have Yeshua, Jesus, incorrectly translated Jesus, meaning Yah is salvation. We have Matiyahu, incorrectly translated Matthew, meaning gift of Yah. We have Yahuchanan, translated incorrectly as John, meaning Yah has graced. It is not possible to really understand the history of believers as presented in the Bible without understanding this principle. In particular, it's not possible to understand Yeshua, Jesus, without first understanding his name, which clearly states that Yah is salvation, not Yeshua. The reason that Yah instructed that the baby in Bethlehem referenced above should be named Yeshua was because that was his mission, to provide a way for salvation. There's huge confusion generated by the use of the name the Lord instead of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. People don't know that the Creator's real name is Yah, so they use yahoo.com email addresses, which are blasphemous. They use Yah for yes in Afrikaans and German and a number of other languages. It's so tragic, folks. If you love the Creator, if you love Father, call him Yah. He says, if you love me, call me by my real name. Further, it's important to understand that the Hebrew word that should accurately be translated the Lord is Baal, the name of a demonic pagan, that is, satanic deity. Yet the Bible translators accurately preserved the name Baal in the English, yet totally concealed the name Yah from the translations. So not only do most people not use the correct name of the Almighty, they use a name that is hurtful and insulting. When I first became aware of this in 2000, I asked Father if it was important, and his words to me were, James, how would you like it if your wife and family called you by the name of your worst enemy? I got the message and I changed my vocabulary immediately. I hope that you will do the same. Further, there are limitations on what you can accomplish speaking to Yah or about Yah using the Lord, which is an abomination in his ears and his sight. Because of the above mentioned persecution of the early translators of the Bible, Yah extended grace for many years. However, in May 2003, when it was time to sentence Satan for his sins and send him to the pit for 1,000 years, it was first necessary to withdraw all grace for the lies and errors which the demonic and satanic realm had inculcated into the vocabulary of believers. Accordingly, if you continue to use the Lord today, you will be cursed and open the door for satanic and demonic attack. Note also that in the so-called New Testament, Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, is referred to as Lord. The Hebrew word in this case is Adonai, which is a human lord or ruler. So it is appropriate to refer to Yeshua as Adonai. However, Adonai has been rendered Lord, with the result that believers confuse the Lord in the Old Testament with the Lord in the New Testament. And this is one of the factors that gives rise to people believing that Yeshua is the Lord, i.e. the Creator, which is serious error. So folks, this is such a key point. Because of the confused translations, people don't really know who the Creator is. They don't really know who Yeshua is. They just are confused. And it's only when you get to understand these things and you put the corrections into practice that things start to fall into place for you. Then the Almighty God. Another incorrect word in common usage is God. There are numerous references to God throughout the Old Testament, which are a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, which means variously Mighty One capitalized, Mighty One lowercase, or Almighty, depending on context. A judge or ruler can be a Mighty One. Yeshua is a Mighty One, but neither of them are the Mighty One capitalized, i.e. they are not the Almighty. So wherever reference is being made to Yah, the correct rendering is not God, it is the Almighty. The word God is actually the name of a pagan, that is satanic demonic power, and as with the Lord, it's actually an insult to Yah to call him God. As with the Lord, his extended grace, but that grace was withdrawn in May 2003. Then Yeshua, Jesus. As stated just now, the true name of the spokesman or prophet and emissary apostle of Nazareth is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. This is vital to understanding this man and his role and his mission. It is also important in understanding why his name is the name above all names, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, the Almighty has also exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There is nothing higher for humans than the salvation of Yah. Note that this name is not exclusive to Yahushua of Nazareth. It was a common name in Old Testament times, generally incorrectly translated as Joshua in English Bibles. Jesus is derived from the Greek Aesis, which in turn is derived from Zeus, another pagan, that is satanic and demonic power, and in fact means blessed of Zeus. So again, it is an insult to refer to Yeshua as Jesus, and again, grace has been withdrawn. The situation with all these demonic names is that if you persist in using them, particularly when you've been appraised of your error, the satanic and demonic realm have authority to take control of you and your life and totally destroy your relationship with your mighty Creator, and the Creator will progressively reject you. Anointed with the Spirit of Yah, in other words, Christ, another meaningless Bible name is Christ. This is a rendering of the Greek Christos, Christoon, etc. This in turn is a rendering of Meshach in Hebrew, which means to smear or anoint with oil, or anoint with, smear with the set apart Holy Spirit of Yah. In other words, to be filled with the Spirit. So at the time that Yeshua was anointed by Yehochanan John after he was immersed in the Jordan River and the Spirit of the Almighty descended on him, he was filled with the Spirit of Yah, see Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Yehoshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and alighting on him. It was this infilling, this anointing with the set apart or Holy Spirit of Yah that gave Yahushua the power to prophesy, to heal people, to raise the dead, etc. So all of these miracles were performed by Yah, not by Yahushua. Taking this further, the word Christ is used in the context of 1. Jesus Christ, correctly translated Yahushua, anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Christ Jesus, correctly translated as the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ, correctly translated as the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, as in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, which strengtheneth me, or I can do all things through the Spirit of Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's where you see Christ being mistaken for Yeshua, being mistaken for Jesus, so Jesus is God. Not so. Yah, the Christ there is referring to the Spirit of Yah. Then Christ equals the Anointed One, referring to Yeshua of Nazareth or any other prominent Anointed One. The net effect is that Christ can be applied to any spiritual believer. So I can rightly be referred to as James Christ, just as legitimately as Jesus Christ. And if you are spirit-formed, you can just as legitimately be referred to as your name, Christ. Thus we see that Christ refers to the Spirit of Yah, and therefore to Yah and not to Yeshua. So when we refer to Jesus using the word Christ on its own, it's effectively meaningless. The net effect of this is that Christianity, correctly translated, would mean the religion of those filled with the Spirit of Yah, which it is not, because the vast majority of those who call themselves Christian are not filled with the Spirit of Yah. So Christianity is regrettably, effectively, another meaningless religious word. Note that the biggest impact of Christ is that people think that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Almighty God, when in fact he was and is 100% a human being. Then stake, not cross. Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not a cross. A cross is a pagan, that is a demonic satanic symbol. See the web pages Not Cross and Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death on the website. Other words that are important, Hallelujah means praise Yah. Yahudah, Judah, means praise Yah. Kodesh, holy, means set apart, separate. That is the Spirit of Yah that is separated out for believers. Father is Abba, which is Daddy. And there are other incorrect words and names. There are many other words that are incorrectly rendered in English. See true names on other pages on the website for more information. Most of these have less dramatic consequences in terms of the impact of the error, but they should be corrected nevertheless, as it is done in where relevant in my articles. Then it's important to note that those who followed Yahushua suffered massive persecution. Following the death and resurrection of Yahushua, the believers in his covenant suffered massive persecution by the Jews and the Romans, such that the religion largely died out in Israel and survived primarily in Greece, where the believers adapted their religion to Greek pagan tradition in order to gain greater acceptance and reduce persecution. The religion became progressively more corrupt. It was also eventually adopted in Rome with further corruption. This resulted in the religion we call Christianity today. It is vital to understand that the knowledge we have available to us today, primarily through the Bible, is corrupt, incomplete, inaccurate, and therefore of limited reliability. It is vital to get close to Father Yah to seek truth. My website contains a huge amount of information of the order of 1,000 web pages and 2,400 articles, which you can turn to for a lot of information. Then all authority was given to Yeshua after his death and resurrection. All authority on earth was given to Adam, who gave it to Satan when Adam rebelled and ate the forbidden fruit, and therefore submitted to Satan. See Genesis 1:28. And the Almighty blessed them, and the Almighty said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Yeshua regained this authority by living and dying without committing a single sin. Regrettably, almost no believers live without sin today, and therefore the satanic and demonic realm dominate on earth today, and almost no one walks in this authority. In order to gain this authority, Yeshua had to be 100% human, and he had to live without sin. If you will choose to live your life above sin, you too will have great authority on earth today. Then Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Yeshua is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Almighty Creator, waiting for his enemies, the satanic and demonic realm and their human servants, to be made his footstool. This requires believers to live free of sin, which almost no one is doing, and wage spiritual war in his name. If his enemies are not made his footstool, Yeshua will not return, and Satan will win the contest. Then Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 981 years from now. Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 981 years from now in 2022, but only if there is a human being without sin and in right standing with Father Yah to call for his return. If there is not such a human being, Satan will rule on earth forever. See Satan to Pit 2003 and other web pages. Folks, this is so important. It is by no means certain that Yah is going to win the contest. There's a strong possibility that he will lose and Satan will rule on earth forever. Then the world is such a mess because of the contest. The world is such a mess because believers have abdicated their responsibility to live above sin and dominate the forces of darkness. This is in response to the contest between Yah and Satan, which came about after Satan rebelled before the creation of Adam and challenged Yah to a contest to prove that if he was sent to earth, Satan would so corrupt mankind that after 7,000 years there would not be a single person who was in right standing with the Almighty who would call for Yeshua to return. And in that case, Satan would rule on earth for eternity and Yah would withdraw from earth. As things stand at present, Satan is well on track to win the contest. There are a very small number of people truly in right standing and free of error at a level that sets them in a position to pray for Yeshua to return. My mission on earth is to increase the number of such people dramatically and to lay a foundation to make this turning around enduring and sustainable and to last to the end of the current millennium in 3003. What Satan did not realize is that when Yah withdraws his spirit from earth, all living things, plant, animal, and human, will immediately die. So Satan will win a Pyrrhic victory and be relegated to the satanic and demonic realm, fighting amongst themselves. Folks, it's so important to understand. Most people are just blundering through life, not understanding why they're here, not having any real purpose, just doing the best they can, trying to be good people. And they don't understand the mess the world is in and their ability to change things. Then Yah is Chesed, love, covenant love. The Almighty Creator is Chesed, covenant love, loving kindness, mercy, grace. This is fundamental. He is not a vengeful, angry God, as so many people believe. And he's not responsible for the mess on earth. Yes, he made a mistake engaging in the contest with Satan, but everything since then, all the corruption and all the horrible stuff on earth has been Satan's doing. Then Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him. So many Christians worship Jesus. Such a big mistake. Yeshua told those who follow him to worship only the Creator, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. Refer Matiyahu or Matthew 22:37. Yeshua said to him, "Thou shalt love Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, thy Mighty One, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is quoting Deuteronomy 6:4-7, which says, "For hear, O Israel, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing is one. You shall love Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This must be read in conjunction with Exodus 20:2-3. "I am Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other mighty ones before me." There's further text on the web page. Folks, these verses make so much sense when you correctly translate the words that I've been talking about. If you start talking about God and the Lord and Jesus, you just don't get the message right. The word translated before in the above passages is Strong's number 5921. Strong's Concordance, an exhaustive analysis of every single word in the Bible, see Wikipedia Strong's Concordance. This indicates that the word classified as 5921 is effectively a meaningless word. There are literally over 150 different meanings ascribed to this word. See Bible Hub / Hebrew / 5921 HTM. So the clear meaning of the two passages above is that you shall have no other mighty ones apart from Yah. Clearly that demonstrates that it is sin to worship Yeshua, Jesus, or esteem him in any sort of religious sense, for example, saying Jesus is God. Fundamentally, by definition, Christianity breaks this commandment, and since the Almighty Creator spoke these words to the entire assembly of Israel from the mountain Sinai, it is clear that it is an abomination to worship Jesus. In this context, it must be stated that anyone who breaks any of the Ten Commandments will face harsh judgment when they die if they have not repented and turned away before death. Then seek truth, not error. A fundamental principle of serving the Almighty is to focus on truth and not on error. The world is full of sin and error. Do not let that overwhelm you. Seek truth at all times and disregard the error other than to the extent necessary to note it for what it is and disregard it. So important. So many Christians spend so much time looking for error in other people and then writing about it and complaining about it and doing all sorts of things. Folks, we've all got error. Don't look for the error that people have got. Look for the truth they've got. Then when unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits or demons. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, also known as demons. They stay with their bodies in the grave or in the crematorium oven, or they are harvested by Satan's servants and deployed to lead others into sin. There are over 100 billion ancestor spirits on earth today. If Satan loses the contest, the ancestor spirits will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. If he wins, they will remain on earth ruled by Satan, and the Almighty will withdraw his spirit from the earth, and all living things will instantly die, leaving the demons stuck on the corpses of their hosts forever. I'll continue with this next week. It's such an important topic. If you're a Christian, whatever variation of Christian you are, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or whatever, whether you are any of the different flavors of Protestant, Baptist, and so forth, the same basic principles apply. Most of the things that I've spoken about apply to you, irrespective of what branch of Christianity you belong to, and most of the points apply. Some won't apply to you in some cases, but generally the Christians are fighting about all sorts of second order, really irrelevant issues and dividing the body of believers when they should be coming together and worshiping the Almighty Creator, esteeming Yeshua for what he accomplished and walking in that authority. I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I really encourage you there are various web pages on the website about demographics of the kingdom, the mountain of Yah, and becoming a friend of Yah. And I encourage you to go and read those web pages. Website is www.endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Just go in there and dip in. And then decide to seek a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. Decide to worship Him alone. Decide to put aside all the other bits and pieces and wrong thinking, etc., and just to get really close to Him. That's what you're here for, is to know Him, for Him to know you intimately, for you to do things with Him, invent with Him, to create with Him, to share with Him, to help Him to guide you in every possible way. So in wrapping up, some key documents and a video on the web pages on the website, a compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful, gives you full Google functionality on the website. As I say, 2,500 articles, or nearly, and over 1,000 web pages. I discuss a huge variety of topics. I've compiled all of this over 20 years, learning about the things of the Creator. Encourage you to go and dig in there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, I can't stress enough, you can become a friend of the Creator. I'm not talking to the person next to you or the person in front of you or behind you or under you or above you. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to your pastor or your imam or your rabbi or your priest. The message is for them too, but you don't need to go through them. You could go directly to the Creator. It doesn't matter what nation or tribe you are, what race you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're short or tall, fat or thin, whether you blonde, blue-eyed, whether you've got black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. Any person on earth today has the opportunity to become a friend of the Creator. And I encourage you to go for it. Say, Father, I want to become your friend. show me how to become your friend, help me to become your friend, and dig in on the website. There's all sorts of material there to help you. So thank you so much. Have a good evening, and good night.